Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from thy word. Psalm 19:18. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16. I will meditate on thy precepts and regard thy ways. I shall delight in thy statutes. I shall not forget thy word. Psalm 119, 15 and 16. Psalm 119, 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. Psalm 119, 24. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we rejoice today in the fact that we have this magnificent book, God's wonderful word, the opportunity which we have to study and to advance and receive spiritual fuel for our souls. We express our thanks today. We are glad that we are your children, born into your family. We have been blessed tremendously, and we thank you for all the wonderful blessings. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All of you are aware of the fact that we're in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, which says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens a door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. What we are going to do now is exegete for a few moments, and then we're going to draw some conclusions. I need to point out, first of all, that this is not a verse related to salvation. We've said that many, many times. Jesus Christ never comes to present himself. The presentation of the message in salvation is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing that we realize that Jesus Christ is the only Savior and is always presented by the Holy Spirit. Before we analyze this verse in detail, I want to go down and point out one particular word to you, and it is the word if anyone hears my voice. Most of us by now are aware of the fact that in the Greek language you have what is known as a emphasis upon a different type of conditional clause. There's a first-class conditional clause, if and it is true. A second-class conditional clause, if and it is not true. A third-class conditional clause, if maybe it is true, maybe it is not true. And then a fourth-class conditional clause, I wish it were true, but it isn't. What we have here, as you can see, is an epsilon alpha nu. And this, of course, emphasizes the fact that this is a third-class conditional clause. What you have in the Greek language is what is known as a prothesis. That's a statement clause. And then you have an apothesis, which is the answering clause. And so you need to keep that in mind as we look at this. We see that epsilon alpha nu is a contraction of two parts that would normally be in a verse with the verb in the indicative mood. But when you have an epsilon alpha nu, it simply means that you have had in the past epsilon iota in the first prothesis and an alpha nu in the apothesis. But these are brought together and the contraction drops out a letter, and the letter that drops out is iota. And so those two coming together make this word epsilon alpha nu. I said that real fast only to let you know that this is a third class conditional clause, which you also see that it is a subjunctive verb. And that is the fact that the particle that goes with the verb, the verb is going to be in the subjunctive mood. And so if anyone hears my voice, which simply says maybe they will hear, maybe they won't hear. And so that's the emphasis, and I wanted to point that out at the very beginning. Now, before we draw some conclusions, let me just take you through the verse and let you see how powerful this verse is. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. We first of all need to tell you that we have the word up here is I-D-O-U, idu. It's a particle. It's from a verb, which is the aorist active imperative verb of horao. There are different words in the language that lets us use the word for see or be alert or aware. And this is the word horao, which means the word from which we get horizon. It is the word which means to take a long look, to look from one side all the way over to the other side. It's important for us to get that concept in our mind. This is simply saying it is important for the believers at Laodicea to refocus. That's what the emphasis is. Refocus, regroup, look. All of those words could be used as synonyms to describe what we have in this first word, idu. Behold, which simply means regroup, regroup your thinking, refocus, get your attention, let's be aware of something. Behold, then he says, I stand at the door and knock. I stand is also an interesting expression because I stand here is an emphasis upon the fact that I'm standing up to the door with the result that I keep on standing. And this is the soul door of a person who is out of harmony, out of fellowship with the Lord. Now, I've said something that may have not registered with you. I just said the Lord is saying, I'm standing up to the door with the result that I keep on standing here, and I'm standing at the door of the low road, out of harmony, out of fellowship, believer. So I just wanted you to see what is being said right here. I stand, and you'll notice that I've emphasized the fact that I stand is an emphasis upon I keep on standing. I've done this before, and I keep on doing it now. That's the reason why you have a perfect tense verb. The perfect tense verb, as we've learned over the years, emphasizes something that takes place in the past, consummated in the past with a result of that particular event going on, continuing on to this very present moment. You've heard that thousands of times, and I don't want you to forget the fact that there's a reason for that. The Lord says, I want you to regroup. I want you to be aware. I want you to come alive. I want you to be understanding of the fact that when you're out of fellowship, when you're a low road believer, when you're not in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm standing there at the door. And I have done it in the past, and I keep on doing it now. I don't know what this does to you, but I think it ought to let us know that the Lord is really concerned when we're out of fellowship, when we are not in harmony with Him, when we sin mentally, verbally, overtly, whatever way we choose to sin against God, we must be aware of the fact that the Lord stands and is wanting to be in harmony with us. So let's stop for a few moments on the word stand. As I've just mentioned to you, it's a perfect active indicative first person of the word, which means I'm standing here at the door. Epi is a prefix here, and then you have an accusative of the word door. I'm standing. I've been doing this in the past, and I'm doing it now, and something's going to have to happen, but if it happens, it has to come from with you, from within you. I stand at the door and knock. What I did, I've written myself a little note, and I said, I stand up to the door with the result that I keep standing at this door. This is a soul door of the low road believer, the out of harmony, out of fellowship believer. As I've already mentioned now, that the word stand is emphasizing completion of the action of the verb and the continuation of the action of its results. I'm standing at the door, up to the door, and it's beautiful to see this, epi, epi, preposition, plus the accusative of the word door. What I'm trying to do here is to show that Jesus Christ outside the believer's soul doesn't mean that the person is lost. It means that the person is not in harmony with the Lord. Jesus Christ is outside the believer's soul, looking in, fully aware of what's going on, and he's knocking to regain fellowship. I'm just trying to let you see, before we start drawing some conclusions, how fantastic this verse is. Now, let's go back and look at it again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If, maybe they will, maybe they won't, if anyone hears my voice, you'll notice that that is at a point of time. The aorist tense means at a point of time. The active voice says that the individual who's out of fellowship has to make the decision for himself. The subjunctive verb says he may or may not do it. If anyone hears my voice, this is simple and yet it's profound. If anyone hears my voice, and what they have to do is they have to open the door. Now, if you notice here something, if they hear, they may or may not hear, it's a subjunctive verb, potential. And if they open the door, you'll notice it's subjunctive. It's also potential. Makes sense, doesn't it? So up here is a point of time. The believer has a responsibility of listening and hearing the voice of the Lord. And then the believer has the responsibility of doing something about it. And he or she can either open or not open the door. The Lord says, I want you to understand, though, that if you will open the door of your heart, I will enter. And notice, please, what is beautiful, beautifully presented here. I'm not going to go into all these words. However, I want to. The word is a compound word, eis, which means into, and erchomai means to go. So it means to go into. But notice, please, what we have here, what type of word it is. I will enter. Is that a past tense? Is that something happening in the past? I will enter. No, you know that. I will enter. It says future tense. But now, what kind of a verb is this? I will enter. I look at this word and I immediately see that it has O-M-A-I at the end. It's a deponent verb. Don't need to go into all that. I just need to tell you, though, that the word means in the future, if you will do something, you'll be benefited if you do it. Now, do you see what I'm saying? Immediately, this M jumps up and grabs me and says, preacher, don't let those people go home today without understanding what this is saying. Then you say, well, what's it saying? It is saying the greatest thing that could happen for you and me is to receive the benefit that the Lord has for us if we'll open the door and be in harmony and in fellowship with Him. You see how simple that is? But how profound that is. Why do I get all excited? Why do I emphasize these particular types of words? Future tense. For instance, let's just say that I say something and the whole congregation gets out of fellowship. It's not to your benefit. And let's say that the preacher too gets out of fellowship. We're all out of fellowship. And the Lord says, let me tell you something. It'll be to your benefit, preacher, to get back in fellowship. And to all you, He'll call you by name. It'll be to your benefit if you'll get back in fellowship. You see how simple that is? That's what the Lord is saying here. He says, if you will do something, you've got to make a decision. The decision is yours to make. I'm not going to force myself to make you be in fellowship. Just as I didn't force you to be saved. Salvation is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Christian life is determined by a person's volition or choice, whether or not you're going to be in harmony and fellowship. If you choose, you'll be benefited. And the indicative mood is the mood of reality. I will enter to Him. This is so neat. Do I need to tell you all this? Are you interested in it? Okay. Thank you. There's a word, pros, P-R-O-S. The word pros is a word which means face to face. The Lord is saying, if you will just get right, If you will make the decision, I will come in, and it's a face-to-face situation, pros, face-to-face, I will come in, and we can dine together. We can have fellowship. We can have a magnificent, wonderful time together. You'll be blessed. Your life will be blessed. And I'll be pleased. The Lord is saying, I'll be pleased if you will do what I'm asking you to do. I will enter into Him, and I will dine. Let's look at this. Future active indicative of the word. I will dine. There's the word we're going to talk about on Wednesday night. I will dine with Him and He with me. Okay. I thought you'd never ask for, getting a little nervous here, never ask for this. The door of the believer's soul. Look at these points. I got so excited doing this that I typed out one copy and I wasn't satisfied and I typed another copy. And so I just handed John a copy and I said, this will make it easier for the sermon. You can just look at this. Well, all the points he has are not all the points I have, but it doesn't matter. And some of you are saying, well, why didn't you give it to me? I'm sorry. But it's available. Jesus Christ vividly presented here as being outside the door. Not lost, outside the door of the soul in fellowship. That's what it means. He's outside the door of fellowship. Number two. A believer cannot be under the control of the sinful nature and Jesus Christ at the same time. So this simply means that you're either in fellowship or out of fellowship. If you're in fellowship, you're in fellowship. If you're out of fellowship, you're out of fellowship. What did I just say? That's right. If I'm in harmony, you're not 50% in harmony and 50% out of harmony. You're not 75% right and 25% wrong. You see what I'm saying? You're either in fellowship or out of fellowship. And so the Lord is saying that you cannot be under the control of your sinful nature and Jesus Christ at the same time. So the filling of the Holy Spirit is an absolute. Just as is salvation is an absolute. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It's an absolute. You understand what I'm saying when I say absolute? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's an absolute. We're either in fellowship or not in fellowship. If we're under the control of the sinful nature, we're not under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are moment by moment in fellowship with Jesus Christ, we're not under the control of the sinful nature. That's what it means. Number three, the out of fellowship believer is presented in Revelation 3:18. Now let's go back and see where we've been. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may be able to see. So the discipline, the believer is presented out of fellowship in verse 18. And then the discipline is verse 19, which says, those whom I love, I reprove and rebuke, discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Do you follow what is being presented here? We're saying that a believer out of fellowship is under the control of the sinful nature. A believer in fellowship is under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the person is out of fellowship, that information is presented to us in Revelation 3:18. The discipline is presented to us in Revelation 3:19. Now, let's go to point five. This verse tells us that Jesus Christ would rather be in control on the inside than knocking a warning knock on the outside. Doesn't that make sense? This verse tells us that Jesus Christ would rather be in control on the inside than knocking a warning knock on the outside. It's important for me to tell you that number six, The door indicates the choice or the volition of the soul of the believer. This is so practical. It's where we live. It's down where we live. Every one of us here today is aware of the fact that we do have a sinful nature. We have temptations all the time. Temptations fall in various categories. There's mental temptation. There's verbal temptation. There's overt temptation. Do I need to discuss any of these three? I think most of you are aware of the fact that so often our temptations come mentally. We can decide whether or not we're going to yield to that temptation mentally. Sometimes the temptations are of the tongue. We can choose whether we're going to use the tongue improperly or not, verbally. The temptation to use the tongue improperly doesn't mean that when the temptation comes, that the temptation itself is sin. But when we make a decision to yield to that temptation, then that knocks us out of fellowship and we're living our lives under the control of our sinful nature. So the door indicates the choice, the volition of the soul of the believer. Let's look at the next 2 points. The door, you will note, is closed. The question I have is why? We're not talking about lost and saved. Not at all. In other words, the person is saved. The emphasis here is the door is closed because the door of fellowship is closed. Why? Why is it closed? It's closed because of negative decisions. In other words, if you and I get out of fellowship and stay out of fellowship, it's because we've decided to be out of fellowship. If we continue to be out of fellowship, eventually what we're going to do is go through the various stages of discipline, which is the warning stage, then the intense stage. If we don't pay attention to the warning stage and the intense stage, then eventually there will come what is described in the Bible as the sin unto death. A horrible death. So a person has to make a decision. They've made negative decisions. Now they need to make positive decisions. The door is closed. Why? Because of negative decisions. Number 8. This believer has been deciding against the Lord. This person as a believer has been deciding against the intake of spiritual food. This person, because of their attitude toward God and His Word, are living their lives under the control of their sinful nature and not under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go back and look at it. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door. I've done it in the past. When you've been out and then got back in, I'm standing now to those who are outside of fellowship. I stand at the door and I keep on knocking. If anyone, you may or may not do it, if anyone hears my voice," you have to listen to what is being said. You have to open the door. "I will enter and I will dine with you and you will dine with me." I reminded you in the previous session of the fact that in the ancient time, they had various types of meals. It's amazing to me when I look at this verse of Scripture, when we find this word, which we will study on Wednesday night, D-E-I-P-N-E-S-O, which comes from the future active indicative, this is, of D-E-I-P-N-E-O. If you want to have fun, just go to Bing or Google and type in those letters. And then put behind it, if you want to type it in Greek, you can do so. But behind it, if you type it in English, then behind it write the word G-R-E-E-K, Greek. And let it come up and tell you what's there. I think you'll find it interesting. I'm trying to give you an assignment because I think it's so good to analyze these things. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, what will I do? I will come in and sup with him, dine with him, and he with me. Look at verse 21. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. What I'm learning, and I'm going to share just a few thoughts with you now. When we get into chapter 4, we're going to find the word throne used. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the word throne is used in every chapter of the book of Revelation except chapter 3, chapter 8, chapter 9. I encourage you to look and see if you can find it. I think you'll find throne used in all those passages of Scripture. Throne over and over again. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. What do you think the Lord has in store for us for the future? What do you think? There are many things we do not understand. There are many things that we do not comprehend. There's so many things, but oh, I'm telling you, the book of Revelation is a book that will just challenge you. Sometimes shake you and sometimes shock you. It's a fantastic book. And I'm looking forward to sharing some things with you in coming days as we move out of chapter 3 and into chapter 4 and 5 and on down the line. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we are thankful today for the wonderful grace of God, the wonderful opportunity which we have to open our hearts and minds to these verses of Scripture. We realize that this verse of Scripture is so fantastic. Behold, I stand at the door. I keep on knocking. If anyone hears my voice, they may or may not do it. But if they will open that door, I will come in and dine. I will have fellowship with them, and they will have fellowship with me. This is the plan that God has for us as believers, to enjoy the Christian life, to enjoy what you have provided for us. Help us to understand how important it is for us to be in fellowship and in harmony with our Lord on a day-by-day basis. And when we find ourselves out of harmony, help us to quickly get back in right relationship so that we can be tremendously blessed as we live from day to day. Those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, may they understand that the greatest thing that could ever happen in their life is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust Him to be a member of the family of God. We know that Jesus said, if you'll just trust me, I will save you. And we pray that there will be those who will do that now. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.